I appreciate them working to find ways for us to fellowship together in the middle of this pandemic. Amen. And God is in control. I do believe that. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do want to just mention today that as a church, we do not make any political endorsements, and I'm not going to endorse any political candidate. The church will not do that, of course. So every year, I do have people that it seems like come and say, "Well, Pastor, who should I vote for?" And I tell them, "Well, you have to vote as the Lord leads you." And I do believe we need to vote according as Christians, according to biblical principles. I do believe that's very important. And in our nation, in our world, even there is a move against biblical principles. But I believe that there is a I don't know if it's a silent majority, but there is a silent big group of people that still want biblical principles and the things that our nation was founded upon. And so I want you to be praying with me about this election, not only the presidential election, but all the different offices, people elected locally here or within a state or national level, that God's will would be done and that God's hand would be upon this. And God knows the future, and God knows who he wants in these different offices. And let's pray that God's will would be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Somebody say that. All these things are against me. And that's what I want to preach to us here today. All these things are against me. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and for every promise. We thank you for the moving of your spirit and anointing here today. And I pray that you'd reach to our hearts and our lives, that you would fill this house, Lord, with your presence, that you would touch every person here today, every person watching online. I pray that you would minister to the needs of every single life and that your will would be done in us. Help us, Lord, to see things from your perspective. Help us, Lord, to be moved upon and led by your Spirit, not to walk by sight, but help us to walk by faith in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. He's worthy of our praise and our worship. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor today. Come on, he's worthy of it all. There's nobody like our Jesus. There is nobody like our Lord. We magnify you today, oh God. We lift up your name. We worship you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's go back today. Let's go way back. Back before Jesus walked the earth, back before the times of the prophets, back before David the king who had a heart after God's own heart, before Samuel and before Moses and Joshua, hundreds of years back before all of that, to the time of Jacob of old, to the time of Joseph, his beloved son. Jacob is in Canaan and Joseph is in Egypt. But Jacob thinks Joseph's dead. His brothers had sold him as a slave and had brought his coat of many colors back to Jacob, covered with blood. And while they didn't outright lie, they led poor old Jacob to believe a lie. And he assumed the worst, that his son, his precious son, his favorite son, was dead. And though the years had passed, this still weighed heavy on Jacob's heart. None of them would have ever imagined that Jacob was now the prime minister of Egypt. Yes, God had been good to Jacob, to Joseph, even when it seemed like God had no idea where Joseph was or what he was going through, but God was good to him. And through divine direction and interaction, Joseph was now the second in command of all of Egypt. It didn't happen overnight, but through the passing of time with its twists and turns, through mountains and valleys. Oh, yes, it seemed there were more valleys than mountaintops, but through all of the ups and downs, God had set Joseph up. And while back at home, there was a famine in Canaan, but Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt. And he sent Joseph's 10 brothers to buy food so they would not all starve to death. Genesis 42 and verse 3 and 4 says, "And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him." Benjamin, Joseph's younger brother, you see, the other 10 were brothers from another mother, but Benjamin was the son of Jacob and Rachel. Rachel, who died in childbirth, and in the loss of Joseph, Benjamin had become very, very precious to Jacob. And so Benjamin stayed with his father, but Joseph's other 10 brothers go to Egypt to buy corn. And when they get there, they bow down before the leader of that land, not realizing it was their brother Joseph. And who he recognized them, but he disguised himself, and he was rough with them, and he accused them of being spies. And to which they explained, "Well, they're not spies, but they're all brothers. Had one father, and they'd come to buy food, and there was 12 of them, but there was two other brothers. One was at home with his father, and one was not." And Joseph, he told them, he said, "Well, you must go and bring that younger brother to me so that I can prove you are not spies. And while you do that, you're going to leave one of your brothers here in Egypt in prison." And so Simeon goes to prison in Egypt while the rest go home with their corn. And reading in Genesis 42, verse 29, it says, "And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto him, saying, The man who is the lord of that land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are not spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto him, he said, Me have ye bereaved of my children. In other words, you have robbed me of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. You see, every person has a breaking point. There is a point that comes in every person's life when that's all they can handle and no more. We don't exactly know where that point is until we've been pushed there and beyond, but nevertheless, we all have a breaking point. Everyone's strength has a limit. Everyone's patience has a limit. Everyone gets up and they keep going, but at one point, there's a limit. In engineering, they know that every pipe has a pressure rating. The maximum pressure a pipe can withstand without rupturing. And we all have pressure ratings. Pressure ratings. How much pressure we can stand before we lose it. And your pressure rating might be different than my pressure rating. And different conditions can affect the pressure rating at different times. But we can all only handle so much pressure. Bridges have load ratings, and engineers determine how much of a load a bridge can handle without collapsing under the weight. And they set restrictions for certain vehicles that weigh more than what the bridge is rated for. Car engines are designed to operate within a certain range of RPMs, revolutions per minute. There's a minimum level of RPMs that they're designed to operate over, and then there's an upper limit depending on the style of car. But if something happens and that engine operates outside those limits, it can cause damage to the engine and even make it blow. Every person has a breaking point. Every person has a limit, a point where they just can't handle the pressure anymore, a moment when the burden is just too heavy for them to bear, when the revolutions of life are just too much. And if things don't change fast, something is going to blow. Jacob was at his limit. I wonder if there's anybody here today that maybe you just kind of feel there's some stuff going on and you just kind of feel like you're at your limit. You don't know how you can handle anymore. The pressure is just too great. The load is just getting to be too much. Things are getting too fast for you to be able to deal with. And life has brought you close to your limit. And you just don't know what you're going to do because you feel like you're at your breaking point. Come on, somebody say, everybody's got a breaking point. Isn't it something? Jacob, he was at his limit, but this was Jacob who had wrestled with God and had prevailed. Jacob, who had been through so much and he had always somehow made it through. He really was, in effect, rejected by his brother for his brother Esau, but he came through that. He had confronted Esau and had walked away with the birthright. He had lost his own wife, the love of his life. He had worked for 14 years for Rachel in a bad deal with her father, but he had done it willingly because he loved her. And then after being barren, Rachel has a child named Joseph. And when she's giving birth to another son, Benjamin, she dies, and Jacob buries the love of his life. Jacob had been through so much, and he had always somehow been able to keep going. Two of his sons, Simeon and Levi, had killed all the people in the city of Shalem in revenge for their sister. Imagine having to deal with that in your family. Reuben, his eldest son, had defiled his father's bed. Jacob, he dealt with jealousy in the family over his favorite son, Joseph. And it led to his son being sold as a slave, but he thought it led to his death. Killed by wild animals. And even further, his son, Judah, had two sons of his own who were killed by the Lord. Can you imagine having somebody in your family that God was so upset with, that God was so displeased with? Er was wicked in the sight of the Lord and God slew him. And Onan displeased the Lord and God slew him. Can you imagine dealing with all of that? But Jacob had been through it and still he had kept going. Somehow he found the strength. Somehow he didn't give up, but he kept moving forward. But in our text today, when he hears that Simeon had been left in Egypt, and now they wanted to take Benjamin too, it felt like everything was closing in on Jacob. He had lost Rachel, his beloved wife. He had lost Joseph, his favorite son, and all of the other trouble, and now Simeon's gone, and he might lose Benjamin too, and he says, enough! All these things are against me. You see, every time we go through something, it costs us. Every time we win a fight, it takes something out of us. Every time we lose a battle, it requires something of us. And all of that was adding up in Jacob's life, to where he said, all these things are against me. Counselors and psychologists will tell you that whenever we go through something that's stressful, something that brings pressure, a battle, a loss, a trial, a tragedy, whatever it is, Every time we go through something where the load is heavy, it's kind of like waves that come to us. Waves of stress, waves of pressure, waves of weight that weigh us down. And the thing is, as we go through life, those waves will come. And the more we go through, we don't feel the wave of just what's currently going on. But we start feeling that wave along with the waves of everything else we've already been through. And when that wave of something new hits, it might not really be all that bad compared to everything else we've gone through in life. But that new wave hits along with the weight of all the other waves, and we feel all of them together. And Jacob said, all these things are against me. Everybody has times when they feel like everyone and everything is against them. It's not just one or two things, but it's a whole lot of stuff. Maybe it's been years in the making. Maybe it's baggage that we thought we got rid of along the way. But the weight of all those burdens, it hits us all at once. And we feel just like Jacob. All of these things are against me. Maybe it's just me. But I just kind of feel like there might be one or two or three that something has hit you the last week or the last month or the last year. And it's like you know it's pressure and it's a burden and it's a load to carry. But you've been through worse before. You've faced more. You fought bigger battles in the past. But for some reason, this thing has hit you and it brought you to your knees. It knocked the breath out of you. It was more than what you could bear. Your heart was overwhelmed. It's not just that thing, but it's not just one or two issues. It's all these things added up, and you're at your breaking point. We've got to realize today that the enemy never stops working. But he's right there reminding you of all the battles you've ever faced and all the times you've ever messed up and all the places you stumbled and every time you've made a mistake. He never reminds us of our wins. The enemy never talks to us about our victories, but he wants us to focus on the failure. And oh, we forget that yes, all these things are against us, but there were some victories along the way that got us here too. Come on, somebody. There were some blessings in your past. There were some breakthroughs. There were some miracles. There were some open doors. And oh, when we're in the middle of it, we forget about all the victories. And instead, we just see the negative things in our spirit. And Jacob added up all the things that were wrong, but he wasn't even thinking about all the things that were right. Come on, let me ask us today, have we spent as much time adding up the things that are right as we have the things that are wrong? Have we spent as much time looking at the things that are positive as we have the things that are negative? Have we numbered our victories, or are we just focused on the failures? Have we counted our blessings, or are we just adding up the burdens? Have we looked at the miracles, or are we just looking at the mistakes? Jacob is at his breaking point, and all he can see are the things that have dreadfully gone wrong, the losses, the pain, the brokenness, the failures. All these things are against me. And we all feel that way sometimes. But there's a difference in what we perceive and what is reality. There's a difference in how we see things and how things really are. How we perceive it and how God perceives it. You see, Jacob perceived that all these things were against him, but God perceived things differently. Jacob thought all these things were against him, when in reality, they were all working for him. They were all working for him. All these things weren't against him, but they were working actually in his favor. They were working in his favor. Listen to this. Jacob's perspective was all wrong. Joseph actually wasn't dead. He was alive in Egypt, and God had placed him there for the saving of his family. But from Jacob's perspective, Joseph was dead.
Joseph had been killed by wild animals. He had seen the coat covered with blood. He lived with that perception for years, but that perception was different than God's perspective. Hallelujah. Joseph had been directed. Joseph was directed by the hand of God through some pain and through some suffering, but nevertheless, he had been put in Egypt by the hand of God for the saving of Jacob's family. It's all about perception. Jacob hadn't lost Simeon. Yes, he was in prison in Egypt. He was held there by the prime minister of the land, but don't you know that Joseph was making sure he was taken care of? And I just kind of imagine that every couple of days Joseph made his way down to the prison to kind of see how his prisoner brother was doing and making sure everything was all right. Jacob hadn't lost Simeon. They would be together again soon. And Benjamin was going to be okay. He wasn't going to lose him, but he was about to be reunited with his older brother. And all these things, it looked that way from Jacob's perspective, but God had a different point of view. And all these things that he thought were working against him were working for him. Somebody needs to hear this today. Our perspective is limited. It's finite. It's from an earthly point of view. But God's perspective is unlimited. It's infinite. It's from heaven's point of view. It's from the perspective of eternity. And we can't fathom that right now. But when we live for God, the things that should have destroyed us, the things that should have brought us to our breaking point, the things that are too much for us to bear in humanity, they are actually bringing us to a place where God can take all these things and work them for us instead of against us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In fact, we're going to stop this sermon right now, and we're going to start another one. We're going to take a different text, and we're going to change sermon titles right now in the middle of all this. And I believe that some of you today, you are in the middle of these things, and all these things are weighing on you. But we're going to believe God that he's going to change your perspective, and that something is going to be transformed in our life today. Come on, are you ready? Are you ready for a different sermon? Are you ready for a new scripture text? All right, here we go. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, Jacob would say, all these things, and we know that all these things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we're about to preach a little bit right now about all these things that are working for our good. Here's the new title. Are you ready? All these things are for us. All these things are for us. You need to hear this today. This is for you. This is what you're going through. This is what you've been facing. All those things that are weighing on you. All those things bringing you to your breaking point. Those things you can't control. Those things you can't fix. Those things you can't find a way out of. All these things are for us. All these things are for us. I can't understand it. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but God wouldn't let it come if it wasn't for my good. God wouldn't let me go through it if it wasn't to bless me. God wouldn't let me experience it if it wasn't going to work out good. It seems bad, but God's going to make good. It's working together for my good, for them that love God. Amen. I know this is just another wave and a whole lot of waves of pressure, but it's another thing that's working together. It's working together. Hey, somebody, this is not adding up for your destruction, but it's adding up in your favor today. Somebody, you just need to declare, I've got more that is for me than I have against me. I've got more working in my favor than I have working for my destruction. And we have scripture for that. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? What are you going to say to all those things in your life? All those things that seem like they're against you. They seem like they're meant for destruction. They seem like they're going to break you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Oh, you mean to destroy me, but God's going to turn it for good. Hey man, it looks bad, but God's going to work it out for good. Yes, it was meant for evil, but God meant it for good. They thought they had you, but God had another plan. He wasn't finished yet. You wept for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. The enemy stole it from you, but God's going to give it back, and he's going to give you more than what you had in the beginning. Hey man, these things are working for us. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distresses or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ? Who can separate you from what God has planned for you? Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Not those things. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And all these things that we thought were going to break us, and all these things that just seem to keep coming and coming, and all these things that the enemy keeps sending our way, and all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, all the things that you got going on right now, nor things to come, everything else you're going to face, nor height nor depth nor any other creature, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to bring. It doesn't matter the attack on your life. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter the trial. It doesn't matter how many times you made a mistake. God is still able. He's able to turn it. He's able to bless it. He's able to use it. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, the pastor, you don't know. You just don't know what I've been through. No, I may not know, but I know. Here's what I do know. I know what I've been through. I know what I've been through, and God's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. Oh, but you don't know what happened to my family. You don't know what happened to my job. You don't know what happened to my marriage. You don't know what happened to my church. You don't know all these things that have come my way. Oh, I tell you, we all have things that come our way. But here's the main thing. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. And all these things work together for good. They work together for us. They might be awful and bad, but they're working together for our good. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing today? Praise the Lord. Somebody, you need to declare this out loud. All these things are for us. Come on, say it like you really believe the scripture today. All these things are for us. God has a plan. God is working it for my good. God is able to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Hallelujah. These things that I thought would mean my end, they're working for me. The things that I thought would destroy my family, it's working for us. The things I didn't know how to handle, God's got a plan. The things I thought would break me, they're working for my good. And let me tell you something. These things are working for you, but God is also for you. He is for you. He's cheering for you. He is setting you up. He takes pleasure in working these things for our good. God is for us. And if God be for us, oh, if God be for us, it doesn't matter what comes against us. These things are for us. God is for us. And sometimes, not only are the things for us, not only is God for us, but sometimes we're going through stuff. And sometimes others are going through stuff. And it's all connected in the plan of God. Jacob, he perceived it one way. God perceived it another way. Jacob thought he was about to lose it, but he was actually on the verge of a breakthrough. He was on the threshold of a miracle. He goes to Egypt by faith. He's going to see what this was all about, if his son Joseph was really alive like he heard. If all of this he'd been hearing about was true, and step by step, God was leading him to Egypt, where God was going to take care of him the rest of his life. And he was going to provide for him. He wouldn't go hungry. He'd have everything he needed supplied by foreigners. Isn't that something? Because God had positioned Joseph to be in the right place at the right time. And what Joseph went through wasn't just for Joseph, but it was for Jacob. And it was for his family. Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." God directed Joseph's life, yes, through the passing of time with its twists and turns, through the mountains and through the valleys. And yes, it seemed like there was more valleys than mountaintops, but through all of the ups and through all of the downs, God had set Joseph up so that a starving father back in Canaan would hear there's corn in Egypt. God orchestrated it all. He put it all together. He put Joseph in the right place at the right time. So when his father Jacob was at a breaking point, Joseph's miracle became Jacob's miracle. Sometimes when we're going through things, we're so focused on just what we're dealing with. And it seems like everything that happens is just another blow. It's another trial. It's another wave of pressure. It's taking us closer and closer to our breaking point, and all we can see from our perspective is we're about to lose it. But it could just be that God is looking from a whole different perspective. And not only is our life in this situation, but there's other people. There's family members. There's people in the church. There's neighbors. There's people maybe you haven't even met yet, but God is orchestrating this master plan with all of these different players in it. And he's saying, okay, it's looking good. It's looking good. It's coming together. It's about to all work out. My plan is coming together, and we're thinking, I'm about to lose it. I'm at my breaking point. And God's perspective is saying, no. You're coming right to the place of a breakthrough. You're coming right to where I'm about to work a miracle. I'm about to open the door. I wonder if in this altar call right now, we could ask for God to change our perspective. Instead of seeing all these things against us, could we see, Lord, somehow give us a glimpse of how all these things are for us. Somehow give us a glimpse, Lord, that you're still in control, that you still have a plan, that you are working things for our good, that you are about to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. I pray that you would change our perspective right now. Come on, somebody today, I pray that you would receive this. All these things are for us. All these things are for us. If God has allowed it, if God has let it happen, if it has been allowed by the hand of God, then it is for me, and it is working for my good, and God has a plan. Come on, you didn't need COVID-19. You had enough stuff to worry about. You didn't need 2020. You'd already had it up to your limit. But all of this comes and it just piles on with all the rest. Come on, if you're here today and in the last week or the last month or this last year, you thought, I just can't take anymore, then I want to tell you, this is a word from God for you. This is a word of encouragement for you. This is the hand of God trying to reassure you that, no, I've not forgotten where you are. It's not that I've forgotten what you're going through, but I've got a plan and I'm working it for your good. And keep trusting me and keep praising me. We're going to come through this and you're going to get a different perspective and you're going to see it was working for my good all the way through. In the name of Jesus, as they begin to sing and worship, would you just reach towards heaven right now and receive that promise in the name of Jesus? Let it work for our good. Let it work for our good. Change our perspective, Lord. Let us see things from heaven's perspective. God, I pray that you would show us it's working for us.
And you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for